3, 2, 1. Log Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, January 27, 2008. It is now 8:01 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now on to our program. During our live program this evening, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. We have 5 lines open. Please make use of them. Or email us at any time to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two, by the way. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Today, it is critical, folks, that we understand what really is going on and we do not accept everything that we hear from our talking heads on television as to what the condition of affairs are. Please go to someone, go to mytwocentsonline.com and get a flavor for what's going on and protect yourself. Also, I'd like to ask you to subscribe to our reminder service. We now have a subscriber button on our website, and you won't receive any advertisements or anything like that, or extra email. It'll just be a reminder that our program will be on the air. If you'd like to subscribe, just click on, and it'll ask you for your email address, and you'll just get a reminder a day before, basically, our broadcast. Okay, now. Folks, this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about where money comes from and whether or not government should be the one controlling the money. Should there be a separation of our monetary system and government, or should government be the one, as we are taught, be the ones that are the only ones that could truly control the money supply? Before we go there, however, I need to vent a little bit. I guess like most people, we are getting very tired of the rhetoric from the candidates for presidency. And this rhetoric is getting worse and worse. And quite frankly, folks, I'm not really that upset with the candidates because the candidates are saying exactly what the people want to hear. In other words, they are very, very good business people. What they do is they give the customer what they want. Okay, and they know what the customer wants to hear, and that's what they give them. Now, if their customer being the prospective voter, if knew what was going on and was in the least bit intelligent, they wouldn't be spouting this garbage, this rhetoric, which this circulative type of reasoning, which makes absolutely no sense. Let me give you just a few examples so I can vent a little bit before we get on to our program. Of course, we always hear about what the government is going to do for the people, what the government is doing. Now, folks, I want you to understand that our system of government, our Constitution was set up to protect us from government. Everything our Constitution talks about the limitations of government. There is a word, the government shall not is riddled with the word not. Our Constitution is riddled with the word not, and not against the people and what the people can't do, but what the government can't do. Now, what these politicians have done is they've turned that around and they riddle us with regulation, which tells us what we can't do. And the fact that the government is all powerful and can do anything, We have everything upside down and inside out, and people buy that. There is some sort of inherent sense of security, knowing that there's Big Brother watching out for us, and we trust Big Brother. Now, how we got here is a book in and of itself. It's volumes of books. It started way back about 100 years ago when the politicians realized that if they promised something, even if it was contrary to the intent of the Constitution and contrary to the American way, they can garner more votes that way. And it is ballooned, and it was exasperated with FDR with his social programs, and it escalated ever since. Now, I just want to give you examples. I'm not picking on any one particular candidate. One candidate, Barack Obama, of course, is advocating a $9 minimum wage. And, of course, everyone is so pleased that he's doing that. He is a true American. He really cares for the underdog. And as he says, you know, he's for the people. He's not for the corporation. Well, folks, without the corporation, most people wouldn't have jobs. That was an absolutely ignorant statement to make, but the voter buys it. Now, I said I'm not upset with the politicians. I expect that from them because the politicians are giving their prospective clients, their customers, exactly what they want to hear. Garbage. Because that's the only thing the voter could understand is garbage. If you give the voter some critical thinking, some logic, something to hang their head on, something to think about, they're afraid they're going to lose votes. And they're right. They're absolutely correct. I am so red hot against about the average American voter and the mentality of the American voter. I am ashamed. I am absolutely ashamed to say that I am an American, you know, and I vote. And we're not talking about people who are uneducated and homeless and unemployed and illiterate. I'm talking about people who you would consider somewhat intelligent. People who have an education. People who associate people with others, you know, who are relatively successful, who make a relatively good income, who have even letters after their names. And yet the ignorance that they display when it comes to voting is unconscionable. And I find this so upsetting. About a month ago, I had decided to give up this radio broadcast. And the reason why I decided to give up this radio broadcast was because if Ron Paul could only get 8% of the votes out of New Hampshire, a state that they consider the independent state, you know, the state where people go to rid themselves of big government, and he could only get 8% of it, if the 8% is correct. And I'm not certain if that's correct, by the way, folks. Now, I'm not going to start with conspiratory stuff with the voting machines, but there's something that smacks badly about that whole damn thing. But if it is near correct, you know, I figured if he can get through to people, he is articulate, he has millions of dollars, and he is facing people one-on-one, explaining to them what is wrong with the system. And he's using some critical thinking. He's using facts and figures, and he's saying what should be said. And our founder of the Constitution would be proud that he is saying it. And he can't get any votes. I said, why the heck am I on the air? Am I preaching to the choir? Or am I just speaking to thin air? Now you say, well, why am I still on the air? Well, because I received numerous telephone calls and emails. And the gist of it is, if I go off the air, they win, we lose, stay on. And quite frankly, I did not want to stay on. But I continue to do so. I was convinced by my listeners that I should stay on. I don't know why. I'll be honest with you. I honestly don't know why. I'm flattered that they want me to stay on. But it is becoming increasingly difficult for me to appreciate the fact that we live in a country where a voter cannot distinguish between gobbledygook and critical thinking. And we are supposedly an educated country. And these are coming from educated people. The voters are educated people. I'm not talking about the people from the from uneducated parts of society where they don't know better. Because the educated are voting the same way as the uneducated, or the misinformed, or the ignorant, or they're just plain stupid. And I'm about ready to lose my cool on this. Now, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. Please call in with your opinion, your questions. Or if you want to rant, it's all right with me. Tonight's rant night. 646-652-4620. Please call in. We've got five open lines. Let me give you an example. Obama says he's for the $9 minimum wage. Everyone cheers him. He's a hero. He wants $9. Well, why not make it $12? Well, heck, why be so damn cheap? Make it $25 an hour. No one asked that question. Well, folks, let me tell you what will happen at $9 an hour. All of those kids, all of those young boys who are trying to get jobs, who are generally near hardcore employed, kids who come from ghettos, and listen, I come from the ghettos in New York City, East Harlem. I'm one of them. So don't give me no one call me and tell me I don't know the difference. I lived on First Avenue. I used to play ball. I used to play ball in between the red lights on First Avenue. I lived near a shop. It was a tire shop. They made tires. Regrooved tires back in the old days. Now, at $9 an hour, what's going to happen to these young boys who want jobs? If a young, especially if a young African-American kid wants to get a job, and he goes to an employer, he said, look, I want to prove to you that I'm worth something, that I'm not trouble, that I can produce and I can make you money. But you don't have to pay me for a week. I don't just want to prove myself to you. Or why don't you train me? While you're training me, I won't take any pay. And then when I'm working, you can see, now if you really feel I'm not worth anything, then I'll leave. If the employer did that, the employer would wind up in jail. Now, what if that same young fella came over, that industrious young fella that we want to see work? He wants to exploit his talents. He knows his opportunities are very, very limited. He comes and he comes to an employer like myself, but I say, Bobby, I can't because I have to pay you $9 an hour, and I can't pay you $9 an hour on a gamble and meet overhead and pay my other employees. I can't do that. There's not enough money in the till for that. I can't budget for that. So he stays on the street. Thank you, Mr. Obama. By him raising the minimum wage, or even having a minimum wage, what Obama doesn't realize, and what the vote, no, he realizes it. He knows. He damn well knows. But what he's saying and what he knows that his prospective voters don't know is that by raising the minimum wage, he is relegating so many young fellas who want to work to the street and unemployment and maybe drugs, because that's the only place where they can make any money. And you want to know something, folks? The low-level people pushing drugs make less than minimum wage. Now, Obama, I want you to say that. That is a proven fact. That's a proven statistic. Now, there's a lot of money in drugs, but the people on the street who are handing it out, those young kids who are handing it out, are making between $3 and $4 an hour. A study has been done. They make less than minimum wage. No one's going to jail for that. But you'll have more of that and less young men working, because these politicians are gaining votes by advocating an increase in minimum wage. And especially the African-American community where the unemployment rate is so high. Obama should be saying, these boys should have access to jobs at any price. We should get rid of the minimum wage. Even if they have to work for $1 an hour, and if they're worth it, listen to them, folks. If I had someone working for me, and that person was making, let's say, $20 an hour for me in revenue, and I was paying that person only $1 an hour. And that person said, well, you know, I think I'm doing very well. Am I worth it? I go, yeah, but I'm not paying more than $1 an hour. That person would leave. Then what do you think would happen? I'd lose 20 bucks an hour. I'm not that stupid. You know, and not every boss is mean, rotten, and will pay their employees the very, very least amount that they have to pay them. They'll pay people according to their worth. If you have a salesperson, and that salesperson is bringing $1 million in a year, and of the $1 million, the gross, if the the gross income from that, the not the gross revenues, but the gross profit, right? The gross profit from that, let's say, was $350,000, and you're paying that guy $25,000 a year, and he decides, I'm going to your competitor. You say, good, go. Hire somebody else for $25,000? No, you're going to lose $350,000 worth of gross profit. That would be tantamount to economic suicide. What Obama and Hillary and Romney, Giuliani, all of them dismiss. They dismiss the basic law of economics. They have dismissed it altogether. It doesn't exist anymore. The law of economics can never be broken. It's a matter of supply and demand. And they talk about the economy. Folks, there is no such thing as the economy. It's a euphemism. There's no such thing as the economy. Just like people in the stock market say, the market. Who is the market? You know who the market is? Every single person who makes a decision either to hold on to stock, to sell stock, to trade stock, to short stock, to do something. Each individual decision, when they make it, how many times they make it, that's the market. But we say the market. There really is no market. There are investors, and they are all acting in their own best interest. Just like in the economy, there is no economy. There are individuals in the economy making decisions minute by minute, second by second, and each one of those decisions affect the economy. If I decide that this house is too cold and I raise the level of the heat in this house, I affect the economy. I am consuming fuel. I am affecting the economy. Every decision I make. If I decide to turn off the heater in my house, the furnace in my house, and sit here in a cold house with a sweater on, I affect the economy. That every decision I make affects the economy. Now, you can tell me, if that's the way the economy is affected, how are these people running for office, how are they managing the economy? How are they managing me? Folks, they are not. Absolutely not. Now, I can go one by one on every single issue that these people running for office are doing, with the exception of Ron Paul and the Libertarian Party candidates, and maybe somewhat Mike Gravel. Hold on, Mike. I hope you stay in there and you prove them all to be clowns. Now, you notice I don't take any party lines. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. I'm for all three, provided that they abide by the Constitution. I love the words of Mike Gravel in one of the early debates. He said, in his initial introduction, he says, I could not believe for one moment that I was sitting in the Congress of the state of Congress of the United States. I couldn't believe I was sitting there. I couldn't believe I was elected. And he says, but after 6 months, I couldn't believe that these clowns were here. And he was absolutely correct. Because when they asked him money about why things happen, he goes, just follow the money and you'll find your answer. And you know what? He's a crackpot. Hillary Clinton, universal health care. Do your homework, America. If you had a heart attack right now, if someone had a heart attack right now here in America, and someone else was around, was able to call an ambulance, that ambulance would be there within minutes. That person would be rushed to They would be working on that person in the ambulance. Person would be rushed to the emergency room. And if needed, that person would be operated with a triple bypass or whatever that person needed, all within the same day. Insurance or no insurance? In Europe, universal health care. Same thing would happen, one exception. You'd wait a year and a half. You'd die. Universal health care will be sentencing tens of thousands of Americans to their death. No one says that. Because we don't rate health care on its effectiveness. We rate health care on who's insured. Now, I can rant and rave about healthcare for at least another hour. Maybe 2 hours if you gave it to me. But all of the candidates are endorsing these type of programs because they want to be perceived as giving. Well, if universal healthcare was so good, why didn't we have it 150 years ago? Why wait till now? Universal healthcare and all the other programs they advocate, every single one of them, reminds me so much of the in local elections when people decide to vote in a statewide or citywide lottery. And they say, well, the statewide lottery, this will save our education system. Well, if the lottery was so good and it saves education, why are these clowns doing it now? I mean, did it take them 150, 200 years to decide this? Did they have a meeting 200 years ago and say, let's have a lottery, but let's think about it first. Let's take a couple of hundred years, and maybe within a couple of hundred years, we finally make a decision and decide, hey, it's time to have a lottery. A lottery is stupid. It's a tax on the poor. Go to any major city where there's a lottery. Any major city. And I challenge anyone this. Anyone, anywhere in the United States. And maybe in our foreign markets, it's the same way. And look for the ads for the lottery. You know, all these billboards that advocate having a smiling person with money and smiling and going on vacation because they're making tons and tons of money. And write down, make a notation as to where that billboard is. You will not see one billboard in an upper income neighborhood. They'll all be in the lowest income neighborhoods because lotteries are taxes on the poor. And you see, all these other programs are exactly the same way. They wind up being a tax on the poor. The stimulus package, the insanity of an stimulus package. I have to read something to you here. This is from Sheldon Richman. He's the editor of the Freeman and In Brief and a contributor to the Concise Encyclopedia of Economics. He says, it's like taking a bucket of water from the deep end of a pool and dumping it into the shallow end. This is January 25th, 2008. And the title of this writing was The Goal is Freedom, an Unstimulating Idea. This is the stimulus package. He goes on to say, the illogic of the stimulus package makes the mind boggle. Next, he says that the size of the packages, which range from $25 billion to $145 billion, is dwarfed by the size of the economy, $14 trillion. Why would anyone who knows this believe that a puny stimulus would work? The answer is that most people don't know how big the economy is. The politicians who know this are demagogues who want to gain and hold power. Folks, power. And spare me. Oh, but Obama is in for change. Spare me that, please. We say change for what? Change for the worse? I know with Bush it's tough to get worse, but we can give a crack at it. Russell Roberts also showed in the same article the futility of what's being proposed in another vivid way. He says, noting that politicians love to talk about injecting money into the economy like a doctor giving a patient a transfusion, Roberts writes, but where does the economic injection come from? It has to come from inside the system. It's not an outside stimulus like the transfusion. It means taking money from someone or somewhere inside the system and giving it to someone else. Folks, the stimulus package is coming from a bankrupt government that has absolutely no money, in debt trillions of dollars. Now think of a person who is in debt, highly in debt, to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, has absolutely no cash, and they decide to write a check to somebody. Does that make any sense? Now, if it makes sense, folks, you're listening to the wrong program. It makes no sense. It should hurt your head. You should hit your head on the ground, on the table, go gong, 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 knock it a few times. See if you're listening properly. It makes no sense, none whatsoever. But this is what these politicians are saying. But they're saying, why I'm angry is they're saying what people want to hear. And no one says, hey, that makes no sense. It reminds me of at the times when I would go to church and the preacher would say something that was wacky. I don't know where he got that idea from. And everyone would go there and go, yeah, yeah. I go, and I was like, what do you mean, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But if you raised your hand and say, hey, excuse me, Father, I didn't understand that. Oh, boy, would you be in trouble. But no one would ask. No one would question. And remember, there's really no economy. There are only people pursuing ends and the property they use and exchange in the process. And that's according to this article. Absolutely correct. Folks, I could not be more discouraged. I could be more discouraged. I've landed I've hit bottom. And please, I got five lines open. Come on, it's Sunday evening. There's no football game on. 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host, and I am ranting right now. Please join me in the rant. 646-652-4620. Please call. Okay. On Fox News, right before, in fact, this was 5:15 this afternoon, Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday, it was interviewing Henry Paulson. He's the Treasury Secretary. I don't know the guy. He just does not make me feel comfortable. There's no warm and fuzzy there at all with me, folks. And not that I'm critical of everybody. It just bothers me that this guy gives me no sense of assurance. He's like a talking head. He's not really sure what he's saying. I mean, this guy has no credibility with me whatsoever. I'm sure he's an intelligent person. Here's the question. I mean, this is not the exact wording of the question, but basically, Chris Wallace says, Mr. Paulson, you know, should not have Washington, that is the regulatory agencies, not only the White House, but the regulatory agencies, the Congress and others, you know, been more, you know, mindful or judicious and proactive in preventing these wholesale loans to unqualified buyers of homes and which created this subprime process, blah, 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 blah. And he said, this is his answer, folks. I kid you not. Please, I'm sure you can get this on CNN or whichever program I was listening to. Chris Wallace Live, I think. No, Fox. Get on Fox News. You get online. I'm sure they'll replay it for you. And he said, I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. Folks, a crime has been committed. An economic crime to the humanity of the world has been committed. People will suffer all over the world because of this. It may result in financial collapse, and it may result in the deaths of hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people. There's a possibility that can happen. I'm not pretending it's going to happen. I'm just saying it could happen, right? That's like going up to someone who has just committed first-degree murder and said, why did you kill that person in cold blood? No, let's not look at the past. Let's look at the future. Let's just see, look at the future, and let's not dig up the past. Would that make any sense? Of course not. You'd say, what a con artist this guy is. What a con artist this guy is. You're right. They all are con artists. Let me name them to you. Obama, Hillary Clinton, Huckabee, Romney, Giuliani. McCain's a big one. Edwards. And those that are not, Thompson, he's out of the race too, but he's another con man. The only two that are really speaking their mind are Mike Gravel, the Democratic Party, and Ron Paul. And Ron Paul's the one I would vote for. I'd like to see Ron Paul as president, Mike Gravel as vice president, and Mike Gravel get up there just ripping into everybody. He'd be the heavy for Ron Paul. I think that would be great. Except for those two. All the rest are con artists. And everyone in the administration currently is a con artist. Because if they weren't, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying. Because if they can't say what they do, sleep at night, and get up the next day and say it over again, something is really wrong, folks. And yet, you see, by speaking this way, I'm the crackpot. I'm the radical. I'm the guy that, well, you know Joe. He rants and raves about everything, you know. Next Tuesday, I will attend a local caucus for the Republican Party. I registered Republican because I want to vote for Ron Paul in the primary. Prior to that, I was an independent, and prior to that, I was a libertarian. We have no more Libertarian Party here in Oklahoma because the politicians took care of that. Did away with us. So now I'm a libertarian Republican, like Ron Paul is. It's going to be very interesting. Next Thursday, what I'm going to do is report on the Republican caucus, the local Republican caucus. I guess it's District 117. I've never been to one. I can't wait. What I'm fearful of is that everything that I'll hear will boil my blood. And I will speak out. And I will tell everyone that everyone's going to be reported on Liberty Talk Radio on Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, I saw a film clip of what is happening in Dubai. The buildings that are being constructed are mind-boggling. They tower three times the height of the Empire State Building. Some buildings are going in the opposite direction. They're built in the sea. The amount of construction going on in Dubai is breathtaking. 25 to 30% of all of the building cranes are in Dubai. It is such a modern city with modern transportation. You've got this. Just look up Dubai on the internet. You literally will not believe your eyes. Where does that money come from? From oil. Who's using the oil? We are. We used to produce 30% of the world's oil. Now, we use 30% of the world's oil, but only produce, 20%. Now we use 20 million barrels a day, which is about a quarter of the world's oil. But we only produce 8.3 million barrels a day. We import about 12 million barrels a day. We are making other countries rich. And we're an oil economy. The whole world's an oil economy. In fact, I saw a very disheartening program on the History Channel, and it had to do with mega disasters. Now, usually it's about volcanoes or earthquakes, you know, in San Francisco, for example, or major tsunamis that they anticipate will occur in the next 50 years, and what the effects of that would be. This happened to be with the end of oil. When oil becomes so expensive because of the shortages and the insatiable thirst for oil worldwide, and as it grows, and how there's worldwide panic and worldwide wars for the last drops of oil. Now that's not happening now, but we're heading towards that. And you know what Hillary wants to do? Wants to take money away from the oil companies because she knows what to do with it. She knows better. Rather than the oil companies reinvesting it, whether it be in deep well drilling, whether it be alternative energy, but she wants to take the profits of a private corporation and spend it politically. My God, anybody who would endorse that should go back to school, take some political classes, and take a heck of a lot of economic classes. But most of all, take some classes in government, in our Constitution. I have here the latest, in fact, this is the 75th year edition of an economic bulletin from the American Institute of Economic Research. And it's the AIER, the American Institute of Economic Research, Cost of Living Guide. I'm looking at a chart here. Now, this is about the most prestigious, honest, non-influenced organization in the world. In fact, they needed some money for a new front door, and I sent them money for a front door. I mean, they're just by subscribers, and that's all they do. They have no political affiliation whatsoever. And whatever they print, you can take to the bank. By the way, folks, we still have 5 lines open. I'm surprised on Sunday evening I don't have one caller in. 646-652-4620. I usually have a caller or two on Sunday. 646-652-4620. I hope our phones are working. Sometimes that happens, and we don't get phones working. Okay. And what this chart shows, it's from 1800. Not 1900, 1800. This is 208 years of history. And it shows the Consumer Price Index. And the Consumer Price Index was the same in 1800 as it was in the 1940s. And since then, the index, well, they start out with zero. In 1800, it was about 50 or something like that. I'm trying to read across, maybe 50 or 60. And right now, it's somewhere in the 650 arena. The prices of things have gone up exponentially since World War II, and with us not being on the gold standard. Our cost of living is increasing at an ever-accelerating rate. And people are feeling the pinch. Heck, I'm feeling the pinch. My house is paid for. I don't have expenses anymore like I used to when I was raising children, sending kids to school, college, and all that stuff. And I'm feeling the pinch. I cannot imagine the squeeze that people are in today who have 2 and 3 children, going to school, they're planning for their college education, saving for retirement, buying a home, buying a couple of SUVs to get around in, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot imagine. there is a law they're trying to pass in Congress to increase the ceiling on Fannie Mae loans. And the problem with the Fannie Mae loans is that they cap them, I think, at $400,000. And someone on TV said, well, they have to do something because the median price in California for a house is much higher than that. So many people in California can't buy a house because Fannie Mae won't guarantee a loan. Now, folks, I cannot imagine someone buying a home for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. Most of these people have very little money to put down. Now, if they had big money to put down, they wouldn't want to go on Fannie Mae. They'd be going conventional mortgage. So these people are ones that are having difficulty getting mortgages, so they don't have much money to put down, if anything at all. Now, these people who have no money to put down on a mortgage, or very little, are going to wind up with a $400,000 mortgage. The payment on that's got to be thousands of dollars every month, and that doesn't include the taxes. The taxes on a $400,000, $500,000 home has got to be astronomical. People are going to be paying thousands of dollars a month just on their mortgage. Then you have the upkeep of the house, the mowing of the lawn, the fixing of the roof, all the things that happen with a house, the furnishing, the insurance. Insurance is pretty high. On a $500,000 house, that sucker burns down, you're going to pay up the nose. And then they have their kids, food. Food is rising tremendously high, very quickly. How are they doing this? I don't understand how they're doing this. Now, why is this happening? Why is this cost of living? Why is it going? Well, that's because back in 1914, we decided to allow a private group of individuals, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds of Europe, the Morgans, the Rockefellers, all the big international money people, to control our currency. They divorced the currency from gold, and now they just print it. Then they charge our government for printing the money. In other words, a private company is printing our money and charges the government. The government charges us. We pay for an outside company, and by the way, with European influence and ownership, to print our money. Money is not backed by anything. It is absolutely worthless. As Joseph Stalin said of Russia, he said, keep your armies, keep your industry, keep your land, keep your country. All I want is control of the money supply. He's absolutely correct. And that's what these people have. They want nothing but the control of the money, because control of the money supply is the true power behind a corporation, a company, a country rather. And that power is the one that dictates who goes to war. And that's why we are at war. We're not at war for freedom, for this and that, for weapons of mass destruction. That's all the smoke and mirrors that we are fed so that we as a nation will support it and not riot. We are just protecting the power base of the money people. We're not in war in Darfur. We're starving Africa, in other countries, in the Congo, because there's no money interest there. We are in war. We are trying to take control of the oil supply. Just like that movie on the History Channel indicated that the world is getting shorter and shorter on oil. And those who control the oil will control the world. So the people who control our currency want to control the oil supply. And they will sacrifice everyone and anyone. They know no national boundaries. They know absolutely no ethnic, no religious boundaries. Absolutely none. Only the power. that money affords them. And if oil translates to money, which translates to power, they will sacrifice everyone on the face of this earth. These are the same people who are providing big money for the campaigns of those people running for office here in the United States. And we, like fools, like sheep, like animals being ready to go to slaughter, wave the American flag and say, yay, for Obama, for change, or Hillary, or for Romney, or for whomever, yay. And we enthusiastically endorse them, which is an endorsement for the money people behind them. We should all be ashamed of ourselves. I'm ashamed to be an American. Let me repeat that. I am ashamed to be an American. I never thought I would say that. Or if I said that, I would say it to myself. I would never repeat it to anyone. And here I'm saying this on the air that has a real worldwide reach. And people in other countries, and I have many listeners in many countries around the world, you see, they identify with this because they've been through what we've been through, and they're more further advanced than we are in this regard, and they know what their countries have gone through for decades, and we are following suit. Now, this was supposed to be about money and free banking, and what free banking means is that we divorce the government from the money. The government should have nothing to do with our money. You say, oh, who's going to print the money? Who's going to print? No one prints money. Money is only a receipt for something of value. So if a bank, let's say, or for a depository, let's not call it a bank, let's call it a depository, has on deposit $1 million worth of whatever. Let's say gold or silver or copper or whatever it is. They can issue receipts in the amount of $1 million, and people can carry around these receipts in any denomination and use them for trade. Yes, folks, it works. In fact, as that chart showed, that I was alluding to before, from 1800 all the way to the 1940s, when we were on the gold standard, basically, the consumer price index was the same. You could still buy the same amount 140 years later. After 140 years, the value of the dollar was the same because it was backed by gold. In fact, in most of those years, it was worth more than that. And yet now, it's several multiples of that it's been debased. And look at, think about this. When the penny was first minted, it was made of copper, because copper was in relatively large supply, but it was an expensive, relatively expensive metal. So they made pennies out of copper. They didn't make them out of zinc or tin. They made them out of copper. Of course, copper had value, had more value. It had a penny's worth of value. So a penny was worth a penny. You could trade it in for a penny's worth of copper. A nickel had 75% copper, 25% nickel. Nickel is becoming a relatively expensive and more rare metal today. Industry is eating it up like crazy. Supplies worldwide are going short. But our nickels are still worth that. 75% copper and 25% nickel. Next year, they're not going to be worth that. Next year, they'll be made out of mostly zinc. No copper, no nickel at all. Only coin that we still have that has some value to it. You know why the dime was small? Because, see, the dime was 90% silver. silver had value. And the reason why the dimes were small, because it was a small amount of silver. The quarter was 90% silver, and it was bigger because it was worth 2.5 times as much. Made sense. The 50-cent piece was bigger, not to distinguish it from the quarter, but because it had a half a dollar worth of silver. Then you had the silver dollar, and so on. Today, our coins are junk. They're junk metal, and they look like European coins. And we all know that European coins have been junk for decades. You don't need a government at all. By divorcing the government from the money supply, and this is not, I not only speak for the United States, but I speak for every country around the world. You will reduce the propensity to go to war for all nations. People say, how do you initiate peace? How do you motivate countries to rethink their positions regarding war? Very simple. Take their money away. Put the money in the private hands of the individuals, of private institutions that act as depositories for money. Do that worldwide. When the governments don't have money, they can't pay for standing armies. Now, they may tax their citizenry, you know, for national defense. But that's not very expensive. In fact, that's relatively inexpensive. And yet, the United States spends more money on the military, because we're an empire now, by the way. We're not a republic. We're not a democracy. We've never been a democracy. We've never been a republic, which is fine. But we're an empire. We're no longer a republic, folks. Don't even refer to this place as a republic. It's the empire of the United States. We spend more money on military than all other countries combined in the world. We don't collect that much money. We're going into debt. We keep on debasing the dollar. The penny is no longer made of copper. The nickel is going next. The dime, quarter, and 50-cent piece and dollar is made out of junk metals. And our dollars are no longer backed by silver or gold. They're Federal Reserve notes, which are created from debt. The only way to have a stable economy is to have a free banking system. And free banking systems work. Now, do you have bank runs, local bank runs, small bank runs, things like that? Do you have people losing money? Absolutely. Now, do we have people losing money now? Guaranteed. Every day, every one of us lose money. If yesterday you had a dollar in the bank, today you have 99.9 cents, or whatever the case may be. See, you lose money every day under our present system, guaranteed. The other way, you just have to be careful as to where you deposit your money, your real money, your certificates of gold or silver or copper, whatever it may be. And it works, folks. The gold standard worked in Europe during the turn of the century, not 20th century, the 19th century, and the 18th and 19th century. And mercantilism survived. It thrived. It thrived tremendously without any inflation. And the only way countries went to war is when they broke from the gold standard and they start printing money out of thin air. That's something to think about. Government has no money. When the government says there's going to be a stimulus package, I mean, we should be insulted. We should say to these jerks, instead of voting for them, we say, look, if you think I'm that stupid, you know, I don't want you even running for office anymore. Not one person, when they're making these speeches and they answer questions, says, where are you getting the money from? And how is this money created? No one asked that.
They just want to know when they're going to get their check. Well, wouldn't it be a kick in the head if everyone, when they got their check, the first thing they did is they went down to their local coin dealer and bought silver and gold. It would not surprise me if we see $3,000 an ounce gold and $150 an ounce silver in the near future. Because people are starting to wake up to the fact that this system is broken and it ain't going to get fixed by the Federal Reserve. And maybe enough people will wake up. I hope to God they do. Maybe they'll wake up and say, hey, that crazy kooky guy Ron Paul, maybe he's right. Maybe the Federal Reserve was not a good idea. Maybe this inflationary environment that we're in is not caused by higher wages, but it's caused by printing too much money and by printing an additional $150 billion, $159 billion that they anticipate issuing, which is printing another $159 billion. The only way that they, the only place that money can come from is us. It's like the proverbial analogy with the swimming pool. It's like taking a bucket of water from the deep end of a pool and dumping it into the shallow end and expect the pool to change shape. Taking the money from us, I'm taking it, giving it to us, and then taking it from us to pay for it is not going to change the shape of our economy. Is not going to stop defaults on bad loans. Right now, because of our fiat currency situation, we have illiquidity. Translated, we have banks that are insolvent. If I were you, I would take the money out of the banks everywhere. Isn't that ending on a high note? We need a free banking system. We will never get it with the people who are leading the charge so far in the candidate nominees for the presidency. Those people leading it are big time Federal Reservists. They know what side of their bread is buttered on. Well, anyway, I'm going to conclude this wonderful program and this high note that we have here. I guess, is next Sunday the Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah, I don't watch football anymore, but we're going to broadcast anyway. And I think what I'll do on Thursday morning is give a recap of the caucus that I go to on Tuesday evening. That should be a blast. I am dying with anticipation as to what is going to be said at that place. And I have no idea what to expect, but I will give you a report on Thursday morning, okay? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, folks, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned. Good night.